After winning the World Cup in 2015, Megan Klingenberg and the U.S. Women's National Team returned to the U.S. to much fanfare. There were ticker tape parades, keys to the city, White House visits. But as the confetti fell, the women reckoned with their sense of shock. Why should they be shocked at the enthusiasm? Had they become so accustomed to not getting attention as women athletes that it surprised them? And amongst this feeling of possibility for the future of women's sports also crept in a new feeling. They wanted more. For as much as the celebrations were nice, did it come with pay equity? Did it come with more endorsement deals? Did it come with the publicity and investment in women's sports that clearly there was an appetite for? Of course, we know this team would go on to sue for pay equity, but there was other ways that Klingenberg and her teammates decided to challenge the status quo. Not content to wait around for the sporting landscape to change, Klingenberg and fellow teammates set out to change it in a myriad of ways. For Klingenberg and teammates Christian Press, Tobin Heath, and Megan Rapinoe, one of those ways became Re-Inc., a lifestyle brand they founded in 2019 to challenge the status quo in business, in fashion, to step into a space as female entrepreneurs and athletes. As Re-Inc. prepares for its latest collection drop, Gamer, I chat with the Portland Thorns defender about the brand, where it's been, where it's going, what we can expect from this latest collection, and what Re-Inc. continues to tell us about challenging the status quo and imagining a new future for women, gender nonconforming, and non-binary people in women's sports and athletics overall. Welcome to Burn It All Down.
Oh, thank you. I'm so stoked to be here. I just want to tell you a quick story, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know anything about the Portland Thorns, but we have like one of the most amazing fan bases in the country. And before every game, I am like privileged enough to do like a little huddle, pump up speech for the whole team to kind of like get going and like basically be ready to burn it all down. And so we use like a lot of fire imagery as well. You know, we love to like build a bonfire so our fans can see it even when they're not around. So I was like really drawn to your podcast when I heard Burn It All Down, because I was like, this is what I'm talking about.
I love that. Absolutely. Every week we have a burn pile and we light on fire the worst things in sports, right? So like we want sports with all the things we love about it, whether that's teamwork or community or like the adrenaline of a game or, you know, competition. I love competition. It's whatever we love. What we don't need is racism and misogyny and homophobia and transphobia. And we don't need that. So every week, our burn pile. And sometimes it's like we're lighting matches that we've lit before. And sometimes it's like a huge bonfire because that week is so trash.
Right. So, grab a gas can, you know?
Exactly. Light it up. So, and then of course, like I said, what rises from those ashes though, are the torchbearers, are the people who are moving that forward. And when I look at the work that y'all are doing with Re-Inc, that's something for me that is like moving society forward. And I feel like that's what y'all set out to do. Can you tell a little bit about, for people who are less familiar, right? What was the intention, right, behind starting something like Re-Inc?
Absolutely. I love our origin story. It's one of my favorite things ever to talk about because it really drives the purpose of our brand and what we do. So I'll take you back to 2015, and all four of us were on the World Cup team, and we were incredibly blessed to stand on the winners podium after, you know, beating Japan and won the World Cup final. And ultimately it's a culmination of, you know, all of the hard work that you've done across your career to be able to stand there and cheer and be excited with your friends and your family and the people that you really care about and worked hard with. And you're standing there and you're like stoked, right? But you're also feeling a bit empty. You're like, well, I'm like, why am I feeling, you know, empty? Like I just did what I set out to do in my life. And essentially it boiled down to me, for me, that, you know, everybody else was capitalizing off of our hard work and we weren't. So whether it was, you know, sponsorships, sponsors or media rights holders or FIFA or federations, they were all driving massive amounts of value and revenue from our win. And all we were getting was like the measly money that FIFA decides to parse out to women's players. That is like
nothing.
One 20th or
exactly
100th of what the men get. So that really bugged me. And I was like, that's bullshit. Are we allowed to swear on this podcast?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's bullshit. And so basically got together with the women's national team players, and we decided like, hey, we got to do something about this. And we went about it in a couple of different ways. One of them was renegotiating our CBA. Another one was the lawsuit. And then for Kristen and Pino and Tobin and I, this was another way. And when you start a new company, essentially, as founders that happen to be women and founders that happen to be, you know, some of us queer, it's like, you know, we're doing something that a lot of entrepreneurs aren't. They're just not like us. And so we have a different way of going about things and starting things and bringing people in and being inclusive than a lot of other people. And for me, that's really important because we want to be like as influential and as powerful as Nike, as Google, as all of these different companies, because when you're able to be that powerful, you're a tastemaker, you're a change maker. You get to set industry standards. You get to promote people that deserve to be promoted. You get to hire people that have different points of view than you and ultimately round out a better world and a better company and create better products. And that's, so I gave you the origin story, but then I also kind of gave you like where we want to go and what we want to be. I think all of our founders would say different things about what's important to them about RE and what it means to them. But for me, that's why it's most important.
Absolutely. One of the things that I like the most about it is how y'all understand it. And you say it's a community first brand, right? And you talk about, you know, going against the status quo, especially in terms of body types and gender fluid fashion and opportunities for, you know, if you've ever gone on their site, you'll even see you can't, there's not like a standard size chart, right? Like there's this idea that like different things fit people in different ways and you should find your fit. And so I'm wondering if you can speak to the importance of that, especially in my view, as we're looking at streetwear, we're looking at that, and it's coming at a time where we're really pushing, thankfully, the binaries and boundaries of sport, and under a time where trans youth, particularly in sport, are under attack, and their very existence is under attack, and thinking about why it matters, right, to have fluid fashion and the ability to find your fit and kind of dress and style yourself in ways that aren't always conventional.
It does matter. Like it does matter. And it's one of the hardest things that we've had to take on actually is sizing because nobody's really been good at it and nobody's been good at gender fluid fashion yet. And so there's not this playbook that you can just go to and be like, hey, this is what small is going to look like. This is how medium is going to fit on, you know, everybody. Like, cause it doesn't matter who you are. Everyone has a different body. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female or anything, you know, it could be any gender. It doesn't matter. Everybody has a different body type. And so that makes it really difficult. So it's actually one of the hardest things that we've had to go about figuring out. But it's also one of the most important things that we think that we can do, because for us, especially like me, I'm like totally into my tomboy fashion. Like, you know, for me, I'm into the androgynous sort of look, and I love to, you know, look that way because it makes me feel the most comfortable. It makes me feel like me. And so I feel like RE is a direct, like, look into, oh, hey, this is made directly for Megan because this is what she likes. And so but I've never had anything that's been able to fit me. Like I've shopped in little boys sections at the mall to try and find stuff that I feel comfortable in. Like they don't make jeans in my size that I like to wear. So it really is an extension of, hey, there's nothing out there made for people like me or people like us. And so we wanted to go about changing that because ultimately fashion is just an outward representation of your inner power. And we want people to be able to show that on the outside, be like, yeah, this is exactly how I feel most comfortable. And I love to look, you know, dope as hell, but also like, you know, this is me. And so for us, it's like, yeah, getting that sizing right and getting people to feel comfortable in our clothes is one of the most important things for us.
Absolutely. Can I ask you a hard question?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so interested in it because it feels like on the production side, it is tough, right? To find this and to find it in an ethical conscious way. And then also keep clothes priced in a way that can obviously help the brand, but also make it available to people, right? And I'm trying to figure out like how does one, and maybe y'all don't know, maybe we're all trying to figure this out, but like how do we, especially for people who are listening who are building their own brands and their own entities, figure out how to navigate within existing structures, right, that has certain ways of launching products and producing products and whatever, figure out how to trouble the status quo while not being able to reinvent every part of that framework, right? Like, so how do we make clothes and also keep them affordable, but also push production side and also make sure that we're like ethically getting people, you know, we have merch. And I remember our flamethrowers, our listeners were like, who's putting the merchandise together? Like, who's selling it? And it was like, these are important conversations. How do we juggle all of these balls in the air? And like, what things do we let drop, you know, and how do we navigate that?
Yeah, this is like a really hard question, by the way. You said hard, but it's like even harder than hard. So no, that's the tension, isn't it? Like, there's a tension between doing things that are easy and just make your business run, and right, then doing things that are going to like help the world and make the world better. And it's this tension for us that we're always trying to navigate. And it's really hard to navigate that, because we hear, you know, back from our customers who are super loud, and we love that. We love how loud they are, because like it makes it easy for us to make different decisions and move forward in like a new way. But like we hear all the time, like, you know, this is not right or this isn't right. And we're like, okay, we're hearing you. But like, there are some points where we just can't change things right in that moment. So for us, it's like, okay, what can we change now? And then how do we go about creating a space for change in the future when we can create like a new path? So for us, it's like utilizing all of the things that, you know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel, because the wheel works and like we want to use the wheel in the best way possible. But also there are some things that's like created around the wheel that are unsustainable. So we want to change those things. So it's like, okay, how do we keep the easy things and keep moving forward? So I think for us, it's like creating that space to get better. And we're always like, okay, this collection, this is what we could do. And this is what we did. And then we reevaluate right after we are done with that collection. And we're like, okay, we loved this about it. We did this well, but how can we make this better? How can we make this faster? How can we make this more sustainable? So for us, it's always about, you know, being on that marathon, but also having like these sprints in between,
right,
where we're trying to figure out like, how do we make the marathon faster as we go?
Listen, I'm always here for a sports metaphor. You talked about these collections. I know I saw when you had the Reimagine Your Vote collection that was around voting, but you have a new collection coming out that's very interesting. It's launching on April 6th, right? And it's called Gamer. What is this about?
Oh, Gamer is so legit. This is probably my favorite collection that is coming out. It's incredibly ambitious. And I think that it's probably the coolest one that we've done, because it really makes a statement. So the ones before have been, you know, centered around like Popsicle, and Source was about finding your inner source and like using that source energy to like you know, find your passion and follow it. But this one is really about burning it down. This one is about smashing the patriarchy. And it's about reimagining like what it means to be a feminist and what it means to be a woman in gaming. And so we're really stoked about it because we're, you know, we're ballers, we're gamers in soccer. And we feel like this is a total parallel to what we do. And as you know, like the gaming, geez, the, like being a female gamer
is hard as hell.
Exactly. Being a gamer that happens to be female, right? Because they're just gamers and I'm just a baller, right? They suffer the same inequities that we do, you know, whether it's being underpaid, or whether it's like representation within the industry or all of these things where sports is a microcosm of society, that same stuff is happening for gamers. And so we wanted to highlight, that. And we also wanted to be like, hey, this is also fun. Like it's fun to burn down things because, you know, only after destruction can there be regrowth. And without, you know, taking something down, you can never hope to grow. And I feel like that personally, I feel like that on a large scale. So I'm really, really excited about this one because on top of being like one of our most poignant messages, it's also really fun and has like dope colors and themes. And it's just like, if Source is like calm, you know, Game Girl is like the opposite. It's like, let's fucking go.
Oops. I love it. No, please fuck it up. and one of the things that I like the most about it is this partnership with Black Girls Code.
Yes.
Can you tell me about how that partnership came to be? And, you know, if you don't know about Black Girls Code, like Google, go now, right? It's a really dope organization that should, you know, really get everybody's support. And so when I saw that y'all were partnering with Black Girls Code for the release of this collection, I was like, ooh, like this is synergy. Like this is really, really, really sick.
Yeah. So actually in our company, we call things that are coincidences, synchrodestinies. Mm. So this feels like a synchrodestiny for me to be on here and talk about this. But we always partner with a different organization, every collection, every launch, because part of our brand is community first. And so we want to give back to our community. And so for us, Black Girls Code was immediately that just makes so much sense for so many reasons. And we're stoked about it because we want to ensure that, you know, people of color and women and people on the queer spectrum are more represented in these industries where white men, white cisgender straight men tend to dominate and create things that we all use, but forget to think about the people that are different than them. So for us, this like made total sense to give back because it's completely on brand. It's also like completely in line with being Game Girl and being a gamer. So for us, we're like, okay, we're always looking for organizations that we can partner with and give back, part of the community. But this one just felt like a fit, like a synchrodestiny of sorts.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up here, one of the things that I'm like, you know, that we always talk about is like the idea of more than an athlete, right? And I think that we've talked about it in many different ways, whether it's Renee Montgomery now being owner of a team, right? We've talked about people moving into the, I know, it's like the best story arc, you know, people moving into the broadcast booth, you know, AJ Andrews, who's a good friend of the show, is like always in front of a camera hosting something now. And we talk about the business side a little bit less, right? Partially because many people who listen to the show and my co-hosts, you know, like we always are also smashing capitalism within things, but like it's where we live and thinking about like what business ventures look like within these systems that are community first, you know, like the work that y'all are doing with Re, and thinking about what it means to look at athletes moving into the business side to take up space there. And like you said, that origin story of coming back in 2015 and watching everybody else profit, right? I my first book is on its way out. It's called Can't Eat a Medal. Right. And it's echoing the ideas that Black women athletes have said for so long historically, can't eat a medal. Althea Gibson was like, they call me queen of the court, but you can't eat a crown. Right. And so figuring out how you take your expertise on and off the pitch and put it to the business side and into these business ventures seems to be to also kind of be writing a playbook and a blueprint for people thinking about what more than an athlete means for them. So if you're talking to up and coming folks who are trying to figure out how to take their athletic careers to new ventures and new levels, what advice, what would you kind of give them? What would you say for people looking to, you know, be multifaceted?
Oh, I would just say, first of all, I think it's a little scary because, and not scary in a fearful way, scary in a cool way. Like, just imagine all these badass women who absolutely kick ass in sports, taking their talents, their work ethic, their teamwork, their brilliance, their everything over into the business world, and taking that same exact fire that they have and passion in their sport and then applying it into whatever they are doing now, whether that's coding or whether that's, you know, being a CEO or whether that's, you know, whatever else, it doesn't matter. So for me, I guess my biggest advice would be you within that new world, be you, because no one's better at being you than you. And you got to where you were because of all the things that you did in basketball, in soccer, in your sport, right? And then all you have to do is just apply those same principles over in business. Obviously, it's going to be different. You have to learn new tools, but you can still use your resilience. You can still use your hard work, your teamwork. You can still use your humility, your ability to solve problems, your ability to communicate clearly. All of those things are directly applicable to the business world. So be you within that world and don't be afraid to show up, because maybe you're not going to be as good at the beginning in business as you are at soccer or whatever sport you play, but it doesn't matter. Like, how good were you when you were six?
Right. You know, it's playing bumblebee soccer, chasing after
ball. Right. Enjoy the journey, you know, enjoy the journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I thank you so much for coming on Burn It All Down and, you know, telling us about this. I'm really excited to think about the parallels between sports and gaming. We've talked about this, especially because we need to, all of us need to really consider esports more, just because they are growing. I mean, like, we talk about what the pandemic did and did not do, but let me tell you what grew in the pandemic was esports. And these spaces, especially gaming spaces, are far from equitable and safe for everybody right now. And so we're working with organizations like Black Girls Code and the partnership that y'all have with Re, like, this is really big deal to talk about these same conversations we have over on the athletic side, on the sports side that we have here at BIAD, et cetera, and how we can find synergies and parallels to these other industries. And you guys are standing in the breach between those with this next collection. So it's very exciting. So where can people find more information? And when can people be on the lookout for the drop of Gamer?
Yeah, so I think you mentioned earlier that early April, so April 6th is the drop. So please check it out. We're always loving when people, whether they buy it or not, just come take a look and give us feedback and participate. We love that. And ultimately, if you want to be a part of this brand, we never turn anybody away. Everybody's invited as long as you're going to be open-minded and cool with everybody else that's there too. For us, membership has been a really awesome way to connect with our community. So if maybe Gamer isn't for you, other things will be. And I know that our community is there waiting to give you a virtual hug and, you know, wrap you up and just invite you into the inner circle, because we're stoked to connect.
And the website is It's re-website.com.
Yes, yes.
Do I got that right? All right.
Yeah,
so
you.
Yeah, go on re-website.com. And there you'll find not only the merchandise, the facts, you know, information, but you'll find that membership page right there, which is called the Practice Biz for Social Change. And it encompasses a lot about what me and Megan were talking about here. You can see a lot more about the brand there. I think it's a really dope site to explore. So go on over there, check it out. And I can't thank you enough again, Megan, for coming on Burn It All Down. Look forward to, you know, future conversations and partnerships. And you have a great day.
Thank you, Mira. This has been awesome.